All right, my name is Rick Bradley, and today is Monday, December the 13th, 1993, and I'm in Waco, Texas, with Red Barkley. Red, first question I want to ask you is, what was your earliest awakening of baseball interest? When did you think that this is something that you really like to do?
I suppose when I was just a kid, I didn't know where I'd go, but I thought I'd like to try it. And I went to Texas and I didn't pass, wasn't eligible for football, so I tried it then.
When you were younger, did you play any like Sandlot teams or high school team or American Legion, anything like that?
No, Mary played high school, 2 years out of Childress. First time I went anywhere, I played in a tournament in Amarillo. And I was working at, as just a kid, I think I was about a junior in high school, and working in a grocery store, and a man drove down there from Amarillo, had a new Graham Page, had a seat in the back, and he said he had just won, they still have the things, put and take grocery stores in Amarillo, and said, "I'm getting up a ball club," and said, "Well, would you play?" Like, and I said, "Yeah, if I can slip off of my dad to go up there." And I went up there with him, and we played. We won second or third, and that's the first time I'd ever, played in a ballpark with a fence in it and that. So I say I broke out in a sweat.
Who was the first scout that approached you, and then if it was different from the guy that eventually wound up signing you, who was the scout that signed you?
It was really Bill Falk was one, and Mr. Billy Dish, that was a coach at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I was a freshman, wasn't eligible for football. I thought I could play football. And Bill signed me, and I went over to Danville, Virginia, which was a Red Sox farm.
Mm-hmm. What year was
Oh, that's been so long ago. I guess that was in 35 or 36.
What did your family think about you playing baseball for as a career? I know you said you had to sneak away from your dad.
Well, at that time, just any way you could make a little money, I guess they thought it was all right since I didn't study enough to be eligible. But they didn't say, "No, you can't." They never did say, "Yes, I think you can."
How'd you get from Danville, where you started, then? How did take me from there to when you wound up with the Browns?
Well, let's see, that is in the thing. And I went back the next year to Danville. In fact, I think Pittsburgh bought me on a look or whatever. I just thought they bought me. So I went spring training with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to Dallas up there, they turned me loose or didn't take me. Hello, Emma. Then I went back the next year to Danville, and we were playing right before the season was over, and the fellow that was the umpire that was general manager at the Red Sox, golly, Mr. Evans, the umpire, and we had an old boy. I guess I shouldn't put this kind of stuff on her. He was from Pennsylvania. His name was Rick. Had no parents. Played third base for just a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bad day. Had no boys, a good outfielder in that league. And he sat out there and called him names, and I never had been around one. And I told him, I said something. So he told me to get back up there. And I said, "When it's over, I'll see you." And I asked Herb, Brett was the manager, and I said, "Herb, would you move that bench and let Woody and I have it?" And he asked me, and he said, "Yeah," and we had it. So he told me, he said, "Well," and I busted my finger, he knocked a tooth or two out of it, and he's a pretty good old boy. But with that uniform on, he was terrible, and I never had been around people like that. And then I went over to the Piedmont League. Stayed a week, couldn't throw, but did the same thing. when Herb told me, I said, just fill it full of new skin, it'll be all right. So that got me started. Then, let's see, went over there, and then they released me. And I guess, I don't know how I wound up, because I didn't call them, but somebody talked to Bill DeWitt, and I went spring training with the Browns. I was in, I guess, 36 or 37. And then they sent me to Meridian, Mississippi, stayed over there. And I was going up to the Browns a day or two before Hornsby got fired. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was at the train. And I guess they called and didn't, had to wait a week or two. And then I got up there at the end of 37. I played a while. Mm-hmm. I had a good time.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about your first day with the Browns? Tell me about that, and then tell me about when you came up. I think it's different now, or you can tell me if it's different. Was there like animosity towards young guys coming up, taking older players' mm-hmm. jobs, guys that they had played with for a lot of years, or not, or were they happy to see you?
If the bunch liked you, everything was just fine. And I'd worked out one day there, the next day or two, or maybe a couple of days. And I looked up, and there was a game uniform in my locker. And I handed the clubhouse fellow. I said, you got some mistake here. That's not mine. And Bottomley was over, and he laughed. He said, Red, how do you feel, Dave? And I said, I feel fine. And he said, you think you can play? And I said, I guess so. So I got to play.
Well, then, let's go from the Browns in 37 to how you wound up with Brooklyn a couple years later.
Let's see. 37 or 9. I played for Enid Oilers there in 40 and 41, and we won up at Wichita both years. I think first year a club had ever done that. And,
excuse me, I think I might have said Brooklyn. What I meant to say was Boston from 37 to 39 when you were with the Bees. I think I misled you there.
Well, yeah, I went to Evansville.
Yeah.
That's when I got in a bad do. I shouldn't say that. It's going to be on there. But I went up there, and at the end of the year, I played for Bob Coleman at Evansville. And the deal was, when we talked, he said, Red, if you stay up here and play, he said, I'll give you $1,500. Well, he told me, he said, Doug Boston wants you to come in with him, two or three more of us. And I said, well, how about $1,500? He said, I don't know about that. Well, when I went up to ask him just before it was over, he left that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to see Mr. Quinn, the old man, Bob Quinn, and told him. And I say, the old codger grabbed his heart. And he said, such fellas as you are just ruining stuff. I got up and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me to, they did to Hartford, and I just went home. That was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the bad things of getting in the big leagues around them, was when that old man jumped me about that,
because
mm-hmm. that wasn't so.
And you spent just a little time with Boston
yeah.
in the big leagues.
Then I went to Enid and played a couple of years up there. And Jack Ryan was with us all the time. He was an old scout for the Cardinals. And he kept after us all year. And in fact, I told him I'd go with the Cardinals. When I did decide to go, Tom Greenway called me and asked. I said, no, I told them. And he said, well, I asked him. And he said, well, I'll just up the thing and change it around a whole lot better. And I said, well, I can't turn it down. He said, I don't blame you. So I went with Brooklyn. Had a good time with a bunch of outlaws.
How much, now, I'm not sure in 39 and in 43, when you were in Boston in 39 and Brooklyn in 43, doing a little bit of research, there's a couple of things that happened, and I don't know if you were there or not, because I'm guessing that you weren't there for the entire year in either place. But in 39, in July of 39, late in July, there was a game where Al Lopez was catching, and he dropped a couple of pop balls. And I guess Boston hadn't had a very good day, and they had dropped them all over the place. And somebody jumped out of the stands and went after Lopez. Do you remember that?
No.
Were you there at the time? Or
one day in New York, I remember it had rained, and it slid. That bag was up about that high. And I'm at shortstop, and I think big catcher couldn't run a lick, but he could
hit. Ernie Lombardi?
Yeah. Well, I'm about a step and a half from third base, and Whitey Wiedemann, I believe, was at second. And darn if he don't hit a ground ball to Wiedemann, who was the man at first. And it seemed like I'd run for a half a day. And I hung my toe in that bag, and I turned a complete flip, and I hit right the flat of my back. And I went honk, I guess. And the umpire, I didn't know him, but he was one of the famous ones. He apologized two innings. He said, "Red," I laughed, and he said, "I had no business." And he said, "I'll apologize." And I said, "That don't bother me a bit." And Lopez walked out there and said something, said, "Are you all right?" And I don't remember saying it. He said, "I said, get back up there and catch." We were pretty good friends.
There's some sugar.
Thank you. Want any cream or sugar?
Okay. Were you with the Dodgers in 43 when they had the threatened strike? When... let's see, I think I have it written back on one of these. I guess it was Archie Vaughn that gave his uniform to DeRocher, and he wouldn't. Tell me about that.
Well, it all, I think we played Pittsburgh. And that big G was a pitching, and the more he pitched, the harder it hit. Anyway, I didn't notice, but I remember Newsom pitched to DiMaggio's Vince, I think. And he threw a ball up in there, and he whacked it for a double, and looked like he's won the ball game. We come back, made two runs, and beat him. And when we walked in the clubhouse, I thought, you know, everything is fine. And I was sitting, Camille's locker was here, and all that looked just like, I think the pitcher Davis, Kurt Davis, was here. And that DeRocher started spouting off, and he told, I don't know about this, but anyway, it wound up, and DeRocher said something. He told Newsom, he said, "That cost you $500, and he said, "That's good enough for me." And DeRocher said, "If I can make it stick, it'll cost you $2,000. And he told him, "That's all right." And then Dixie Walker got in there and said something to Leo. And he said something to Archie. Well, of course, Archie hadn't felt good for a thing. He's pretty quiet. And he really led into that DeRocher. And DeRocher didn't do anything either. He didn't have a thing. So, and say, about 12 of them turned that uniform in. And I remember when we walked by, I played that day. And I asked Leo coming out the door, I said, "How many runs does the irregulars have to make before you get taken out?" And he let in on me then, so. But it just wound up a day or two, and they all come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, then take me from playing with the Dodgers until your playing days were over.
I came down Waco, and we played here semi-pro ball. Well, it's in the big state league.
Mm-hmm.
None of them wanted to manage, and I managed, and didn't want to, and never did want to. So played one year here. And that is it.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go, just go back and, Son, when you were growing up, in the big leagues, you played second, short, and third.
Mm-hmm.
And was that those the positions you played growing up as well? Or did you do any pitching or any catching or any outfield or anything like that?
Just played shortstop.
Always
in the high school.
How about, go ahead and just describe for me, if you can here, what kind of hitter you were or what kind of hitter you thought you were, and then maybe describing your stance or something like that. And then was there, growing up, was there anybody that you copied?
Just any of them big leaguers that I'd see, thing I tried to copy every one of them. Mm-hmm. That's a bad dude. But the ball pretty much have to be above my waist for me to whack it good.
Mm-hmm.
That down there, down away from me. And I never could. Well, as Paul Wainer said, it's just like hitting a golf ball. And I tried to guide the thing up, and he said, get on top of it. And I said, I can't get on top of it. He's one of my good friends. He's a good fellow.
Did you have a close stance or an open stance or crouched or
kind
stood
of,
up? Or?
Kind of medium.
Yeah.
I'd go bad for a while, and I'd get right on top of that plate and think, well, you can knock me off here. That.
Trying to change your luck?
Yeah.
How about the who were some of the guys in the big leagues that, some of the pitchers that you went up against that you really hated to see, or was there anybody in the big leagues that you didn't mind seeing, that you had pretty good luck against?
Some of them I didn't hit very good. I didn't mind trying it against them. I'll tell you who I thought was a good pitcher was Mel Harder.
Mm-hmm.
That gum, he bust that bat off on me, and I'd dribble that ball to that Keltner and run, cuss.
Run and cuss.
I didn't mind that much a left-hander if he threw hard, but the left-hander that just dropped that curveball in on me from my waist to my knees inside, I couldn't even foul that thing good. Mm. And everybody said, well, you can shut your eyes at that. And I said, I don't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bad pitch to hit.
Was there... You said Mel Harder was bad for you. Was there anybody that you liked seeing up there? Was there anybody that you had a real good luck against?
No. I tell you, the first one I hit at was in the spring. First one off down was Lefty Grove.
Mm, well, that's a good place to start.
I led off, and I thought, well, I'll take one, see. And he buzzed up there, and I thought, well, I'll take another. I was ready. I was going to swing at anything, and I couldn't get that bat off my shoulder. He couldn't really throw.
Mm-hmm.
Then he busted me off a pretty good curveball and just three pitches, and I went sit down. But I hit him in Boston in 37 there. And of course, he was getting a lot older then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Harlan Cliff was one of my good friends, and Cliff and the third baseman kind of had it framed up a little. Cliff was be around at 300, and he'd play back. Tabor, I forget who was playing third, had a good arm. And that Cliff would play back for him. And that first time up, I believe, second, Cliff bunted right down that line. And Grove is hot that day, Boston. He run over. And he said, you better buckle yourself down up there the next time you come. Said, I'm too old to run that ball down third base. Don't make a living that way. I'm telling you, he threw three. He just upset him. Cliff got the message, too.
I bet he did. How about what kind of fielder were you? What kind of base runner were you?
I guess I just kind of close to average. I was a pretty good base runner. I mean, I like to score. If I'm in second, I ain't on a fella gets a base hit. I want to score. Always did.
Well, I just got done talking to Sid Hudson. He said you could run like a deer. So
no, I couldn't run that good.
Pretty good with the glove?
Just fair.
Just fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a good arm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I scattered him in them bleachers, too.
How about the, let me just throw some names at you, some of the guys that you played with, and I'll throw some names out, and then you can, first thing that pops in your head, go ahead and tell me what you think. How about, you played a little bit with Hornsby in St. Louis, I think.
Yeah.
What kind of guy was he?
He was good to me. I liked the old devil.
Mm-hmm.
He was a strange person, but if a fella really would give him his best, he wouldn't say anything, but he thought, like Cliff, he always wanted Harlan as a good hitter, little fella. He could hit a ball a mile. And he thought instead of hitting 290 and 301, pulling all the time, if he'd hit that ball to right field or something, he'd hit 320.
Mm-hmm.
But Cliff had tried, he popped the thing up. he couldn't throw one.
Well, the one too many guys with Hornsby's talent. So.
No.
How about Bobo Newsom?
Oh, that Bobo. He is a sight. He had a new car. In the first month, Emma and I had Bette was a little bitty girl then, the daughter, and we had to stay at the New Yorker. And Bobo one day said, I've got me the Green Hornet, had him a new green Chrysler. And he said, ride the ballpark with me. Well, man, he took off like Barney O'Field, and we got out there on some bridge, and I thought, well, we ain't going to make that. And I just rode that one time with him.
Scared you half to death, huh?
Well, what was the sight?
How about Freddie Fitzsimmons?
That Freddie. I tell you, he was old when I knew him and threw that knuckleball in his arm and like that. Yeah. But he's about half mean. And I felt he didn't like, he didn't hold anything back at all. Like I say, he's a pretty good pitcher, if he's as old as he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me throw one more name at you. How about Rex Barney? Remember Rex playing in Brooklyn?
Yep, but he wasn't there when I was.
No?
That was before. He came two years I played the oil company out of Enid, mm-hmm. We went up through Nebraska and through there, and we played somewhere one day. And I think Rex Barney pitched for our club. It was lightning and a thundering and raining, and Monty Vasco led off for us, and he hit him right there. I thought he'd killed him. I thought it had killed him. But they called the game after that. That's in the first inning. But I guess he could throw hard.
Was he the hardest throwing guy you ever saw? Or?
No. Feller was.
Bob Feller, huh? Well, tell me about standing in there trying to hit him.
He warmed up a couple of times, save a game in Cleveland, yeah. But he didn't. I was in hopes he'd pitch. I was going to hit him. I just liked to walk up there. But I'm sure he'd have, that curveball of his, I'd have torn my seat of my britches out. He could have really throw. But he could throw a bit harder than that darn Grove did when he was younger.
When you were playing, who were some of the guys that you roomed with? Do you have any good roommate stories? Did you room with anybody's suitcase, or did anybody room with your suitcase? Or?
Hey, I see. I roomed, I guess, a good deal in, with Brooklyn with Bragan, with Frog.
Mm-hmm.
I see him every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I guess he just lives up in Dallas,
yeah.
Or Fort Worth.
I roomed with Bill Dilley, I believe, somewhere with St. Louis, a left-hander, a little left-hander.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good curveball, had the thing that way.
Was there anybody else, sir?
No, there's a bunch of those fellas that's good to me. Ted Lyons was a good feller to me. The first time I hit at him with a man on second, Sam West, well, he took care of me, Robert Brown. And we were in St. Louis. No, it was in Chicago. And I think one or two men was on, or maybe three was on. And he got me two strikes and threw me that darn knuckleball, and I never had one of those. But and I guess I just chopped out of that away. Sam said, well, if you could just see yourself. And I said, listen, he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. He never throws that thing unless a man's scoring position, not unless he's got two strikes on him. So the next inning, I walked out by a thing. I called him Theo, and I said, Theo, if I can help it, the next time you're not going to get two strikes on me. He said, if you'll get ready, I'll split the middle for you. He did, and I whacked the devil out of it.
Well, that's awfully nice of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't care. He's a good fella. So is Sam West.
How about let me throw another name out. How about Lefty Gomez? Did you play against him at all? Bat against him?
Mm-hmm. He threw that ball right by you too.
Mm-hmm. He was a character from what I understand.
He could throw strikes. Those good ones could throw strikes. Vandermeer hit him a couple of times. He could throw hard, but he was kind of over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that had the bad ones was the Cardinals. They had them darn little left-handers.
Barry Burkin.
He was one. His arms is like a gorilla. And had another one. There's one of them little short armors, and they'd use that in here and come out there. They'd tie you up.
Was there any place that you played, either major league or minor league, that was a favorite place for you to play? Was there one stadium that you went into that you hit really well, or you just liked being there?
I liked any of them. I never had seen them big league or play. I tell you, one of the best parks I ever played in, I thought, we played an exhibition game there at the Dodgers. And it had rained, showered good, and that was the best infield.
Is that about in Brooklyn Ebbets Field? Or?
No, their park was good.
Yeah.
No, this was off as AA or AAA. I ain't thinking too old. But boy, that the dirt, it was a real place to play. And I think I've read about that being Rochester. No, that wasn't it. It was a good one. But I'd say I thought all in Major League, that St. Louis was rough with both clubs playing there.
Yeah, both teams torn up.
Dykes was my good friend. He scared the devil out of me one day in St. Louis. I hit a ground ball hard, and it bounced bad and hit. Can't think of the second baseman's name. Was there for a year, good player. Didn't know he had a bad knee, but it bounced, and hit him on his knee, and he just wound up and spun in that dirt like a doodle bug. And I'm at first base, and I know damn well I didn't laugh, but somebody I thought was going to tear my uniform off, and it was thing. And he said, "You're not going to laugh at my player and get away with that." And I said, "You know I wouldn't." And then you scared me so bad, made me mad, and then he walked off laughing. At that same time, I never had been in one of those field days. I guess that's the last day at St. Louis with the White Sox. And they're throwing from out, having a long distance throwing, and Ted Lyons, he says, "Won't you get in that red?" I said, "I never got in one of these things before." Well, he said, "Get in that." And I think he told the fella, said, "Wait just a minute." I threw about a half a dozen, got out there, and the first one I threw was farther than the next one. And the next one was 411 or 12 feet. And Luke Applin, he was my friend. He had it once, and he had a glove that I'd been on so bad my mouth was just water. And he said, "Well, you lost your glove. I can tell you that." And then he left him out there next to anyone who walked out there. This was, I guess, the middle of the ball game. It might have been the first part. I don't remember. And the glove was out there, and I picked it up bad and looked at it. He laughed. He said, "Take it." Luke was a good fella.
Mm-hmm. Good friend of yours?
Yeah, we wound up good friends. Then I'd see him over in Florida. Worked for Rawlings for about 15 years in the pro baseball department, and he's over there helping him. But there's a lot of good. As the best part of what little I'd be around, I think I played 4 or 5 years and got to go to spring training with 4 or 5 major league clubs.
Uh-huh.
Got to know them fellas, and they was good to me, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that darned old Hornsby, he's one of my friends.
Well, there aren't too many people that can say that, I guess, but I guess he was tough on people. As talented as he was, he couldn't understand why everybody couldn't hit 350, I guess.
The first time, he was going to try to play a little bit. He's about 40 then, I think, 41. This was in 35 or 6, 7 in there somewhere. And Hemsley, he was a good one. So Hornsby's at third, and they're working out, and the fellow pitched a ball down there and rolled it towards whoever hit the infield. It seemed like Les Teague. And Hornsby, he picked the ball up through to Hornsby, and it was a little bit too soft. And Hornsby really got on him. He said, if you're going to do, he said, if you're not going to throw the ball, get out of there. Boy, that next time up, that Hornsby, him they could throw. He rolled that ball about two-thirds of the way down there. He'd have hit him right there with it, just hard. And Hornsby got, and it knocked his glove off that one of you. And then Hornsby said, that's what I'm talking about, throw the thing.
Is there any umpires that you remember that were some favorites of yours, or maybe not some favorites of yours?
No, I never did run one ball game down here at all. But I can't think of that fellow. He was one of the favorites in the big leagues for years. The one that laughed, he said, and I turned that flip. Hit right flat on my back. He apologized for three or four innings. I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I ain't my toe would turn a flip. I did, right? Just like I was on a diving board.
You said you only got run from one game, and that was over here?
Yeah, in this big state league.
Well, what happened there?
Well, we was up at Paris, and we'd had those two umpires for two or three weeks, seemed like. It was Arsenal was one, and the other one was something. I called them Oxidol and or something else. And a play came up at third. That dugout was in 10 feet of that thing. And this was standing there at third, and I thought he missed it completely. And I said, why don't you get your, you know what, up on the play, Oxidol, where you can see something. Man, before I could say scat, an old deputy had me, and out of that park I went. And they put me in jail.
Put you in jail?
The chief was at our club. He is the chief police down here. And the fellow that run owned the parish club had a Dr. Pepper plant. He wasn't there that night, or it would never would have got that far. And we were going down the street, and I told that deputy there, I said, we're right down there at that motel right there. He said, that's not where you're going. And went in there, and then I had some cigarettes in my pocket. They're dumping them out, and the thing says, here's your cigarettes. And I said, now, after that umpire's touched him, I wouldn't smoke one for $100. Oh, he says, you. And the chief got paid my bill, whatever. And he said, come on, let's get out of here. So that's the only time I never did have much trouble with umpires. I was always mad at myself.
Oh, I see. But you got thrown in jail the only time you got thrown out of the game. Well, that's not bad at all. It seems now, right, any time you watch TV, and there's a pitch gets too close to somebody, or somebody slides in too hard a base or something like that, first thing they do is pop up, and here come the fisticuffs, and they're rolling around on the ground and stuff. You remember any good fights, or any good fights that you remember?
Yep. In my first year, I played that Poffenberger's pitching. And Blackie Carter, I think was his name, was managing. And I walked up the plate, and he said something. He said, how tall are you all stretched out up here at the plate? I said, not too tall. Why? He said, well, we're going to see. And I said, well, you better get in and hurry it up. And that Poffenberger stuck one in my ribs. And down first base, we went to wrestling. And it wound up, it was in Field Ale, North Carolina. Hmm? And, boy, they come out of the stands.
Did they?
They never finished the ball game.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Well, it wound up worse. We had a good. Our manager was a good fellow, Herb Brett. Mm-hmm. And I guess he'd fight any of them. We got to run out of juice.
No, we've got plenty of tape here. Go ahead, David.
And back on the bus going, Herb said, the next time they come over to see us, he said, I don't even want any of y'all suited up. He said, I'm going to be right down sitting on that steps to clubhouse. And when he comes down that line, I'm going to meet him up there. Well, we talked him into letting us sit in the dugout. And they come dragging in uniforms in, and that blackie. I don't know what happened, but they met about third base and about the third lick. I don't know if they can, but I'll guarantee you he decked him and then took him to the hospital and had him sewed up. That Herb was, he didn't look like he was that bad. Mm-hmm. And he told us coming in, he said, if I don't whip him, He said, I hope my little girl will die before daylight.
Now, he was that upset about it. Huh? Quite a statement. Any other fights you remember?
I had a big one in St. Louis one time. A ball dribbled over the mound, and Galland was playing first, and he won. Anyway, he didn't come up with the ball. And as they go across first base, Mickey Owens dived on Cooper, the catcher, just on his back and bulldogged him. And boy, they went together. In fact, the whole bunch did. And the next night, I believe it was, Mark was pitching. And the first time Mickey was up, that boy, the stands rocked that place. And that Mickey hit a shot right between his legs when the first baseman gave her that. But I never did know what him and Walker there, what they...
What theirs was all about. Mm-hmm. Huh? How about when you're traveling and life on the road, and then tell me about that, and then tell me about the effect it had on you, and then on your wife, and then kids, and being away from home, and things like that.
Well, my wife, it couldn't have been any better. She didn't say, well, you've been gone so long, or too long, or that never came up. One main thing could have been any better that way. Well, some of them, it wasn't that nice. I was going to say something I forgot now what I was going to say. I tell you that, on those trains was something. Back in those big league days, everybody had a lot of fun.
So everybody, that's what Sid told me about an hour ago.
That was
quite a bit different, I guess, than today. 25 guys going in 25 different directions.
They go in different rooms. I say everybody had a good roommate. And the first time, well, I remember we were coming out of New York, I guess. I guess we played the Giants that day. And a bunch of them got on. I remember the big fellow that could throw so hard had a brand new suit on. He had about a 25-pound ham, had it in his lap, cutting it with a pocket knife and serving sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And something was said, talk about shotguns, and Kurt Davis was a good shot with a shotgun. And I said, why don't you shoot an automatic? You know, you can shoot. He said, I can shoot a pump as fast as anybody can shoot an automatic. Well, that got them started, and they talked all night long. I looked up and I had gravel in my bunk and hairs up on top. What a night that was.
How often did you have your wife with you, or your wife and kids, or anybody ever travel with you, or were they always home and when you were on the road?
They'd be at home. No, we never did. The only time, the All-Star game in 43, I forget where it was, but the bunch up there at Bear Mountain or something sent some buses down, and everyone that wasn't on the All-Star team, they took them and their wives up there to Bear Mountain for 2 days, maybe three. It was a nice trip.
When you were playing, we'll talk about equipment. Tell me about the glove that you had used to try to catch these balls fired at you, and then describe the equipment that you had to play with what these bushel baskets that these guys have today.
It's altogether different. I've got one of those. I did have around here somewhere. No, I sold it to a fellow. He gave me $250. It's a little bitty build-up glove with just two little pieces of rawhide strings. It wasn't as big as my finger. But I thought it was a pretty good glove.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't big enough.
And then, I imagine there isn't too much difference in the bats, and the balls are probably fairly similar.
Yeah, I think so.
What about the uniforms? Was it better when you was wearing the wool stuff compared to the polyester that they're wearing today, do you think? Or
the thin wool stuff was all right. I don't think I ever wore polyester that I know of.
But in St. Louis in the summertime, no matter what you were wearing, yeah, it was still hot.
It is hot and sticky. Sure does.
What about the locker rooms? Now, if you played I'm guessing there were quite a few Sunday doubleheaders. Mm-hmm. Seems that way anyway. You'd play a Sunday doubleheader. You'd come in from the first game. And I think now, if we were to go in between a locker room now, in between games of a doubleheader, you'd see this lavish spread and all this health food and this, that, and the other. When you played a doubleheader and you came in after the first game, what was waiting for you?
You had to get the clubhouse, fella, and you ordered a sandwich and get a Coke or something, and that was it.
And you had to pay for that yourself, huh?
Oh, you marked up there on, and you didn't beat him out of very much. Talking about that Clippers town,
yeah,
that was one of the highlights. I played 4, 6, or 8 holes of golf. Wanger and see me, and maybe Buck Newsom and one or two others. And Higby and somebody else was downtown walking, and they walked by a drugstore, and they had some bats out in a wooden keg. Said, and one of them was a little, I'd say about a 29-ounce bat or inch. And it looked like kind of white and green pine. And it looked like you wouldn't have hit infield with it.
Yeah.
And one of them says, I'll bet you Wainer hit with that thing. So that day, they said something to Wainer. And one of both Smiths pitched that day for the White Sox, Edgar and Allen or something, Arthur Allen, Edgar. And the first time up, he hung Wainer a curveball right along there. And he absolutely knocked him off that mound with his glove. It flew in. Wainer tried to first base, never did use it more. But he took that little bitty bat and just shillelaghed that thing.
Uh-huh. That was Paul we're talking about?
Huh?
Paul Wainer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. How about, let me take a peek. How'd you get along with, you said you got to St. Louis in 37, and Hornsby was either gone or on his way out, or you passed each other on the train or something like that. So you didn't really play for him, but how'd you get along with Jim Bottomley?
Good. He's good to me.
Yeah. Nice man?
Mm-hmm. Jim was a gentleman and a scholar and a good player, good fellow.
Kind of manager, or did St. Louis just not have enough that it really didn't make any difference?
Wasn't too bad. Their pitching was had a little age to them.
How about Casey? Tell me, how'd you get along with him for a little time you was in Boston?
Well, Casey was sighty. That day that I turned that flip, he come in, I got in the dugout, and he said, I'm going to get you in the Barnum and Bailey Circus. And I said, Casey, that's not funny to you, not funny to me either, and he didn't say any more.
He's quite a clown, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How about as a manager? I know you're just there for a short time. What'd you think?
Well, he had good luck, so he's like DeRocher. I didn't think DeRocher was that good a manager, but he had good luck.
Mm-hmm. How about when you were playing, the first time you signed for any money to play professional baseball, how much were you making?
I believe $300 a month.
$300 a month. And then when you played in the big leagues, what were you making then?
The most I made were the Dodgers. Made I think make $5,500. And my wife and we both had plane tickets home and some of that stuff. So that was my best deal.
Mm-hmm. That was Mr. Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
Treated you pretty good?
Yes, he did. Brother Ricky was all right to me.
Well, that's good. Was there ever any situation where you maybe you were promised something if you had a good year or something like that, and then at the end of the year you didn't get what you were promised or anything like that? Were you ever lied to or cheated out of any?
No, that I had the experience with the man with the old one with the Boston that,
yeah.
that said I'd give him the heart attack.
Uh-huh.
He gave me one too. No, I was surprised that in 37 nothing was said. And when I went up the end of the year when we started home to get the last check, Mr. DeWitt gave me $250 extra. Said, John, I think you've earned it. And I thought I was wealthy. I remember I went home and I gave my mama 83 something and my dad 83. Little Bud was going off to college. And give him 83.
Oh, that was nice of you. How about the, well, this will be the last question on this side. We're kind of running out of tape. But in the off season, did you do any work in the off season to supplement your income?
No, I had to.
Yeah.
Worked around oil rigs for several years. Pretty hard work, but you know, you made a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Were you working with, was Jim Walk up there at the time, or was that something
no,
different?
No, it was a different bunch.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're just about out of tape. Let me hit the pause and we'll start over. Red, when you played, were you superstitious at all?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what were some of the things that you were superstitious about?
Pull a white horse, a white mule, stamp them, find a coin walking along as a base hit.
Uh-huh. Was there any clothes that you wore? If you got a couple of hits, you wore the same undershirt the next day, or? Or was there anybody that you played with that was pretty superstitious that you remember about?
No, I'll tell you one thing. I played up at the end with a good hitter, Dallas Patton.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out with a new pair of sweat socks on open day. And he didn't wash them or he wore them the whole year. The heels had come out on my toes. He walked up there and shillated.
Socks stood up by themselves.
Yeah. Okay. You can get attached to a good bat.
Uh-huh. Well, I can understand that.
Like Wainer, he never did even use his own model bat. He just picked one up out of him.
He got a base hit. Didn't make much difference with him, I guess.
He said it took him 10 years to find out. He said, I thought Stan Hack and I were good friends. And he said, I'd look down there, and it looked like there was enough room between third base and him. I hit the ball to him. I'd hit it right on that line, and he caught it. He said, then it took me 8 years to find out just before the pitch, he moved over about a step back where he could catch it.
Well, I see. It was coming. Was there any one game that you think back of, either good or bad, that you remember above all the other ones? Something that might have happened to you, or maybe something else that you saw. That
I remember the first game I played, we played the Athletics. And Wally Moses was a pretty good friend of mine, And the first time up, I hit a shot at him out there in right field, and he came in and caught it. And then I next two times up, I believe I hit that fence with one. I had a little bitty signboard out in St. Louis, up on the railing there, and I hit that thing, come back in, another. I think I had 2 for 3 that day.
It's a pretty good start.
Oh, I felt like a big leaguer.
Well, you were a big leaguer. Well, that's pretty good. Now, after you got done playing, you're playing semi-pro ball here, mm-hmm. and then you said you played a year or two.
Yeah.
And then that was done. How did you know then that you were through playing baseball? Did you have enough, or the team you were playing for had enough of you? Or
yeah, I'd had enough shots. I had enough chances. If I could have cut the pie, I'd have stayed in the big leagues.
Uh-huh.
I thought, now I'm sure that's right, too. So I didn't blame anybody but myself.
But you just had enough, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Was the transition from being a ball player to, let's say, more of a civilian life, was that an easy one for you? Did you really miss playing ball?
No, it didn't bother me. I don't think a bit.
Okay. You went straight from, then when you're done playing mm-hmm. baseball, then you went to?
I was at Wichita Falls. I scouted one year for Boston.
Okay.
And they jumped me to be the business manager. Is that thing on?
Yes, it is. Would you like me to hit the pause?
No, it's all right. And I went up there for 2 years. And Mr. Al Evans, when I went up there, I called him and I said, Mr. Evans, I was scouting. I like that with Boston. And I said, this bunch is asking me about Wichita Falls up there as a gentleman being a business manager. He says, John, the scouts are a dime a dozen. He said, you go around the corner and see them. I said, Biz said, you got a chance to make some money or something. So I took it. But that was a bad 2 years.
Didn't enjoy that at
no.
all. Okay, and then after that, I know you told me you worked for Rawlings for about 15
mm-hmm.
years. Well, how'd you get from where we're at now to Rawlings? Or?
Oh, I guess Field Scoble worked for Rawlings for all those years. And I'd known him down here all those years. We'd bumped into get ball game stuff. And he is the one that got Claude Carr, the president of Rawlings, to give me a job.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do for them exactly?
I worked for them in the pro baseball department. Oscar Rotger was head of it, that. And at that starting out, Bill Jessup in the Carolinas and I was over here. And we made all the leagues. Spring training and all.
What years did you work for them?
I guess from about 50 or 51 to 15 years from 50.
So 65 or 66.
65 or 66.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, did you work anymore, or were you retired? Or?
No, I scouted some more.
Who'd you scout for?
Let's see, scouted for the Cardinals. And then that bureau, scouted for them.
Mm-hmm. Did you discover
Detroit.
Anybody? Detroit, did you discover anybody that we might have heard of or sign anybody that we're familiar with?
Had one black outfielder from over in East Texas. He stayed up there about 12, 14 years. And I can't think of his name now. He's a nice boy.
Mm-hmm. What team was that for?
With the Cardinals.
Cardinals. I don't know what to think.
They traded him, he wound up at Houston, I believe. Houston, Washington, was with Houston and Cardinals mostly. Mm-hmm. And hit pretty good. I think he could have run. Played shortstop in high school and he couldn't make a living. Shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And old, what's his name, called that night, and he said, Red, run like he say he can, he'll make $1 million playing shortstop. I said, he'll starve to death. You better see if he can play center field. He can play there, he can play, but he won't make a living playing shortstop.
Well, you have, we're down to our last two. We talked about your favorite game, and you mentioned it was the one where you got your first day and you got a couple of hits. Is there any memory of all your time in baseball? It could be as a scout, it could even be working for Rawlings, or it could be any time you played minor league or major league ball. Is there one instance, one thing that happened that you look back and it's your favorite memory?
No, I guess what little I got to play in the big leagues, the fellas, all of them was nice to me, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay, Red, last question, at least on the tape. If you could go back in time, and if you could change one thing, or if you could change anything, what would that be? Anything you'd do different?
I'd probably do the same. Maybe worse. Maybe worse.
Okay. Well, Red, thanks for your time.
Thank you.